Here he comes, along with Lady Denby. And Simon. I lose the thread that is Anne. Everything's rushing in again. I'm in a panic. All I can think about is Simon. Beautiful Simon in his white tie and black jacket. And me, undone by the magic. He's striding over. For a moment his thoughts push their way in. Fleeting images. His mouth on my neck. His hand removing my glove. My knees buckle. Felicity pulls me up sharply.
Miss Doyle?
Simon asks quizzically. Miss Doyle is a bit indisposed, Felicity says to my great embarrassment.
I am sorry to hear it, Lady Denby says. We'll send for the carriage at once.
If you think it best, Lady Denby, Grandmama says, disappointed to cut her evening short.
Lady Denby, how very nice to see you.
It's Cecily Temple's mother, marching our way with Cecily at her side. Cecily's eyes go wide when she spies Anne.
Good evening, she says. Why, Miss Bradshaw, what a surprise to see you here. Why are you not back at Spence with Bridget and the servants?
We are fortunate to have Miss Bradshaw with us for the holiday, as her great-uncle, the Duke of Chesterfield, was delayed in Russia, Felicity's mother informs her.
Duke of Chesterfield? Cecily repeats as if she hasn't heard quite right.
Mrs. Worthington recounts the tale of Anne's noble birth for Cecily and her mother. Cecily's mouth hangs open in astonishment, but cruelty corrects it, bending it into a malicious smile. Something cold and hard flows through me. It's Cecily's intention. She's going to do it. She's going to tell. Now Anne's alarm pummels me, mixing with Cecily's spite to make me woozy. Can't breathe. Need to think. I hear Cecily's voice.
Anne Bradshaw,
my eyes flutter, please stop,
is stop, please, the most
unable to bear it, I shout out, stop! A delicious relief fills me. There is utter and complete silence. No rush of thoughts, no crowd noises, no instruments being tuned. Nothing at all, actually. When I open my eyes, I see why. I've made everything stand still. The ladies gathering skirts, chattering. The gentlemen checking pocket watches. They are like the wax tableaus behind the giant glass windows of a department store. I had not intended for this to happen, but it has, and I must use it to our advantage. I must save Anne. Cecily, I intone, placing my hand on her rigid arm. You will not say another word against Anne. You will believe everything we say. And what's more, you will treat Anne as if she were the queen herself. Anne, I say, smoothing her hair away from her worried face, you've no reason to fret. You deserve to be here. You are loved. The man having the affair with his wife's sister stands near. I cannot resist. I slap him hard across the cheek. It is oddly satisfying. You, sir, are a scoundrel. You will reform yourself immediately and devote yourself to the happiness of your wife. Simon, how strange to see him standing at attention, those blue eyes open but not seeing. Very gently, I remove my glove and stroke the side of his jaw. The skin there is smooth, freshly shaven. My hand smells of his barber's balm. It will be my secret. I pull on my glove and close my eyes, willing it all to be so. Begin again. I say. The world swings into action as if there's been no pause. The husband feels the sting of my slap. Simon puts his fingers to his jaw as if remembering a dream. Cecily's smug expression hasn't changed, and I hold my breath, hoping the magic has found its purpose as she opens her mouth.
Miss Bradshaw is the most charitable, dear girl in the whole of Spence, Cecily announces. In fact, it is her modesty that prevented her from telling us about her royal blood. She is as good a girl as one could ever hope to meet.
I don't know who looks more thunderstruck, Anne or Felicity.
Miss Bradshaw, I do hope I may have the pleasure of calling on you while you are in London, Cecily says, with a newfound earnestness.
Tom pipes up.
Miss Bradshaw, you must do me the honour of attending the Christmas dance at Bethlehem Hospital.
Has the spell extended to everyone? But no, I come to realise. The mere suggestion of fame and fortune casts a glamour all its own.
It is rather alarming how quickly people will turn someone else's fiction into fact in order to support their own fictions of themselves. But seeing Anne's delighted face, knowing what's in her heart, I cannot help being glad for the illusion. "I would be delighted," Anne says to one and all. She could have used the opportunity to gloat. I would have. But instead she has proved herself worthy of royal blood.
"We should send the carriage round for Miss Doyle,"
Lady Denby says. I stop her. "Please don't. I should like to stay for the rest of the opera."
"I thought you were ill," Grandmama says.
"I'm fine now." And I am. Using the magic has calmed me somewhat. I can still hear some people's thoughts, but they are not as urgent. Felicity whispers,
"What happened?"
"I shall tell you later. It is a very good story." By the time I climb into bed, the magic is nearly gone. I'm exhausted and shaky. My forehead is warm when I place my hand there. I can't be sure whether it's the magic doing this or I'm actually falling ill. I only know that I desperately need sleep. When they come, my dreams are not restful. They're wild kaleidoscopes of madness. Felicity, Anne, and I running through tunnels lit by torches, running for our lives, the terror clear on our faces. The caves of sighs, the amulet twirling. Nell Hawkins's face looms before me.
"Do not follow the Eastern Star, Lady Hope. They mean to kill you. That is his task."
"Who?" I murmur. But she's gone, and I'm dreaming of Pippa outlined against the red sky. Her eyes are wrong again. Horrible blue-white, with pinpricks of black in the centre. Her hair is matted with wildflowers gone to seed. Deep shadows ring her eyes. She smiles, revealing sharp, pointed teeth, and I want to scream. Oh, God in heaven, I want to scream. She offers something in both hands, something bloody and foul, the head of a goat torn from its body. Thunder rumbles through the reddening sky.
"I saved your life, Gemma. Remember that?"
She blows a kiss to me, and then, swift as lightning, she grabs the goat's head and sinks her teeth into its neck.